Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the nice main event.
Brett Allen.
We have a very special comic comedian on our show today. Probably have seen him on The Late Late Show or The Tonight Show recently, and he is just blowing up, and we're thankful to and blessed to have him. He's been launched into the comedic stratosphere lately, and he's got a few minutes. He's going to hang out with us. Comedian Rob Hayes, thanks for your time, man. It's an honor to meet you. I'm very excited to chat with you.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm a comic comedian. I only talk about Spider-Man and Superman.
And I'm getting roasted right off the bat. You know, it's going to be a good conversation. Now, how has all of this been for you? You've been doing this for so long. And quite frankly, I'm personally surprised it's taken this long. But the way this works, this industry is so different. But it all happens for a reason and at the right time. So how does it feel to have so much attention on yourself and to feel validated as a comic comedian who only talks about Spider-Man and Voltron?
I don't feel bad for not knowing about me off, you know, from the beginning. I think it was valued when I first started to be in the shadows and kind of, you know, like until you're ready, come out and put out a lot of stuff out. I'm excited for this part of my journey and people getting to see, you know, me in longer form and putting this project out.
Yeah, it's been great. So how long have you been doing stand-up for those who don't know? It's been a while, like 12 years.
I started in 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, when I started, the big topics were Tiger Woods and with the dogs and Obama's first term. That's what everybody was talking about when I first started. Just the idea of Obama was a joke premise that a lot of people, you know, had jokes about.
Do you do an Obama impression? Has that been part of your...
I used to do my Obama. My Obama was more like at that time I only knew him from like speeches. So it was more like Obama yelling, you know. And when we got two Americas and we need one America, you know. Like,
that's really good.
I think as time went on, people kind of honed in more on his speaking voice and stuff and you know, in regular conversation that wasn't available at the time.
Yes. From watching all the different comedians that impersonate him, there was like speech Obama, and then there was like early term Obama, and then there was like 8-year Obama, like worn out, and now there's like pop culture icon Obama, which he's really become now. Like one of just a handful of presidents that was so filtered on the talk shows and Saturday Night Live. It's so cool, man, to have watched the evolution of your career. You had a new special that came out about a month or so ago. We've been working on getting you on, but your travel schedule's been crazy, but I'm so glad that we're able to do it. So this new special is out. You have these new jokes. I've been talking to a lot of comedians this week, and I have to ask, are you the type that when you put your special out, do you tour with that and promote the special, or do you just put the special out, put those jokes in the vault, and start working on new stuff?
I appreciate people's time. I like people to have a good time. If, you know, one of the older jokes makes its way in because it kind of fits in, I'm not going to stop it. But if I can sense the crowd kind of knows my stuff, then I kind of feel that's permission to dig deeper and kind of show my hand on what's the newest stuff that I'm working on. So it just depends on the show. It depends on the show. I don't believe in throwing away material, but I also do believe in gaining new material, and I feel like a lot of the newer stuff I'm working on does fit in with a lot of the older stuff, and then there's fun mixes and stuff, and there's, just because you've told something one way doesn't mean that you can't explore other ways to tell it and stuff. So no, I won't sell these jokes again. They won't be a commodity again. They won't be in the next project. But that's not to say that their lifespan is over, and me finding fun ways of telling them is over. But I don't know if I like the expectation of this is gonna be all new. I just want people to enjoy themselves, have a good time.
Yeah, I totally get that. It's interesting. Like, I feel like for most comedians, just the general populace, there's like a 10-year, 8-year mark, give or take, where the consensus is that's a good time to put something out. I don't know if that's the same for everybody. Some people, blaze out of the gate, put a special out right away, especially now in the age of social media, TikTok in particular, Instagram. There's a lot of people that start that way, and then all of a sudden, now they're doing an Amazon Prime special. So it's different for everybody. I want to ask you, Rob, and I'm not setting you up or leading the witness by any means, but do you feel like, I mean, everybody gets their start the way that they're supposed to, but if somebody gets plucked out of obscurity, say on a social media platform, and gets handed a special, do you feel like that they might miss out on some of the benefits of grinding it out early on, or does it matter? It's everybody's different. Again, there's no right or wrong answer. I would just love to hear your thoughts on it, because I think people find that part interesting.
I think it just depends on the work ethic of that person. So, I think that blowing up early and finding your crowd and you're having your crowd and getting used to your crowd early, you can develop a lot of bad habits
Okay.
and have a lot of unrealistic expectations of what an average audience,
Yes.
would expect, and that could set you up for a disaster. And I think that there are certain skills that you learn by being unknown. There's certain skills you learn by, like, okay, I'm the headliner. No one here really knows, like, whose show they came to see. And now I have to win these people over. I could like lose. I could have an awkward night. Like I still have to have another show at this club. I still have, I have the rest of the weekend. It could be an awkward weekend, or it could be a party, but that's up to me. And I think when you have your own people there, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about, oh man, I could really lose because they came to see you. Like when you get on stage and they come to see you, they're hyped that you're there. Now you just gotta, do the job. But there's plenty of times where I go on stage and I can look and some people are like, this is young, he's younger than I wanted to see. I didn't want to see someone, talking about these things, or I don't agree with him. I don't agree with what he's saying right now. And then, through that, I have to be so funny that that doesn't matter. That I, if I'm on the other side of an argument, you don't care because we're laughing, we're having a good time,
I never thought of it that way. That's very true. Like, not to dig, but I've heard other comedians say, like, if you go on AGT, which a lot of those guys already have been doing comedy for 10, 15 years, it just they get thrusted into a bigger spotlight. But even I've heard Howie Mandel say, not to rabbit trail too far, but like, if you have one good night here, that's great, but then you have to go out and tour and have the same amount of good nights, like you just referred to, whether you're playing the clubs or theaters. But like these tours sometimes where it's these comedians and you've never heard of them and you go see them, I have to say, guilty as charged. I've been in that situation once or twice where I was just kind of surprised, but it was still a fun night because you have the guts to get up there and do what you do, which I don't have, which I think is so cool, because you're standing up there, you're telling jokes, you're making people laugh for an hour or so. And it's just an eclectic experience. Like, I want to wind the clock back. When you were going at this during the pandemic, did you do Zoom shows? Did you still do that kind of thing? You did. Okay.
I did Zoom shows. I didn't do too many outdoor shows because I was working through the pandemic. I was writing on different stuff. I wrote on the ESPYs from home, and I wrote the Sherman Showcase Room was outside in tents, and like we were, you know, everybody was exactly 6 feet away from each other, and you know, in the elements, it would be cold. We'd have coats on in the morning and shorts on in the afternoon and coats on again at night. And so it didn't rain. I don't think we might have had maybe one day where it almost rained, like, but that was fortunate. But I was scared to get anybody sick, so I didn't do a lot of in-person shows. There were a lot of secret apartment shows and stuff like that, and I did one or two, but I really was scared about, you know, getting somebody sick.
Yeah, how were the apartment shows? Because I know there were the rooftop shows, drive-in shows, Zoom shows. I attended a few. That was kind of fun. But yeah, what a crazy time. So here you are. You have the special out. People are just loving it and just enjoying it. Is this for you a snapshot of the last several years of your life, where you've come from and where you're at? And so how do you decide what to put into your act? Like the economy of words, the commodity of laughs and all of that sort of thing.
I would say this is a snapshot of the beginning of my life. I think it's like some of the things I pulled from in this album or special, depending on how you receive it, is like my earliest memories. Some, you know, so it's childhood. It's a little bit of elementary school, middle school, high school, and college. So it's really a lot of the beginning of my life. It's funny because it's my second project, but my first project kind of pulled more from my adult life than the second project. I kind of went backwards.
Wow, that's very cool. So you're touring now and you're going out on the road. Any plans to come to Colorado anytime soon? I know most of the people that run the clubs here and they're big fans. So I have to ask, like the Fort or Comedy Works or anything like that, or have you already been through?
I haven't been to any of the clubs in Colorado, and I would love to do some clubs in Colorado. I do have plans to be there, but I cannot announce them yet.
Okay. I'll be in touch with your publicist over at Shark, because I want to come see you if and when you do come out. Very cool. Yeah. So going back to the beginning of your career, when you first realized that you could do this and wanted to do it, who were some of your earlier influences, Rob?
My earlier influences, the Pimp Chronicles and American Hustle, Cat Williams, like kind of shook up the world for me, just especially like deeper into the set when you start talking about the space shuttle crashing and the war in Iraq, and it just kind of like showed like, oh yeah, you know, you can get these jokes off and still be cool. Dane Cook was huge when I was on MySpace. I got on MySpace for the Dane Cook jokes. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people did.
Harmful If Swallowed, you know, like that was a big thing. The Vicious Circle, you know. My earliest influence is Chris Rock. My parents, when Bring the Pain came out, they watched it. I had to go in the other room. They locked the door. I got my hand on the door. I'm like, what is this thing? I can't see. It's called Bring the Pain. I'm thinking it's like a horror movie or something crazy. And then I find out it's a dude talking, just a dude in a leather jacket talking. What is he saying that, you know, like you can't let kids hear. And so I was fascinated. Anytime I saw anything comedy, I would run towards it, whether it was Comic View or Premium Blend or Comedy Central Presents or Fozzie Bear. Like I was, you know, Seinfeld. I was just into the concept of stand-up. You know, I would watch Dr. Katz as a kid. I always associated stand-ups with therapy and needing therapy. I was like, yo, they're the people who need therapy. And then, when I was a kid, I had a therapist, and that was the first person I told that I wanted to do stand up because I thought like this is how you get in the world of comedy. You got to talk to your therapist.
I love it. All right, so you get the Tonight Show special. This is a big deal. Walk us through that. What was that experience like, Rob, for you, and how has it changed you as a comedian?
I mean, my first Tonight Show opened up a lot of doors, and I had been applying for writing jobs for like 3 years before that, and really was able to get in the door and start working on in Hollywood from that first Tonight Show set. And it legitimized me to a lot of people. I was able to travel to markets that might not have had somebody like me, just because of the stamp of the Tonight Show. And then this past one, you know, just kind of solidified it. It's so many people that get to do late night just once. And so I'm very blessed to have the opportunity to do it multiple times and to do it again and to do it on, you know, on the same show means a lot. And I got to promote, you know, my self-produced special that I put out myself, which is something that, you know, years ago probably couldn't happen. You probably couldn't be like, oh yeah, look for this guy's trunk, he's got some VHS tapes in the back. But you know, now with the internet and everything, I could really just put out a special, go on the Tonight Show and promote it. And yeah, that's very 2024.
Very much so. Well, congratulations, Rob. Hopefully we'll see you here soon. You're awesome. Where can people listen to the new special, the album?
You can listen to the special on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Amazon. Also, you can purchase it if you like to purchase it from the iTunes store or the Amazon store. Also, you can watch it for free on YouTube if you want to. If you're one of those weird people that likes seeing people talk, then, you know, you can do that. It looks great. It's a great looking special. There's a joke in the first frame, you know, like it's jokes nonstop. So, you know, I think the audio experience and the visual experience might be a little different, but they're both enjoyable.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Especially like with SiriusXM, you know, comedians that want to get on there and go that route as well. Like if you're listening to an album, it's just a whole different feeling. Like I feel like you have to use your creative side more, your imagination more. But then when you get to see it, it's like when Brian Regan used to play a lot of his specials on there, you would hear it and go, this is funny. And just imagine, you know, all of the other things that go with it, but then you get to watch it and it's so different and it adds to the experience. I've done both. You're funny, dude. I'm so glad we were able to get you. Congratulations. 100%. Oh yeah, for sure. Please come back when you're a megastar and congratulations and on your touring and all your success, Rob. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't wait to come back. I'll let you know when I'm in Colorado for sure.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you!
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Omega proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.